Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. All this week we're airing a study which was taught live at Calvary Chapel, La Mirada. The study was part of a verse-by-verse teaching through the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. The studies this week focus on historical background leading up to the Beatitudes, as well as looking at the first Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The study for today will focus on trying to understand the purposes of God and what He wants to accomplish in our lives. The Jews of Jesus' day had an extremely wrong concept of the meaning of the kingdom of heaven. They focused too much on how it would affect them and their plans in life. We need to learn how to fit our lives into the plans of God versus trying to have God cooperate with our plans. Hopefully this study will challenge our hearts and motivate us in this direction. Now let's go to the study originally taught at Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
There's a lot of people that have Christianity that way. Here's my life. Jesus fits into this part. And they're wondering why they're not finding satisfaction in their walk with Jesus Christ. You got it reversed. You need to fit into His plan, into His kingdom. And for some, that may mean you need a brand new start. You need to, first of all, understand what the priorities of the Christian life is. And we'll see those in Matthew 5 through 7. Let me just give you an example. You can't have a mixture of your desires and your ideas what the kingdom of God is about. You need to take it from the words of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, I had the task of weeding my bank. And we have crabgrass in there. And I believe that stuff is demonic. Can any of you agree with that? There must be a demon on the other end trying to hold that thing down. And you can't rip it out, and you do. It's terrible. It grows right back. Well, what happened was I ripped out all the grass at one point, and then I planted some ice plants. But you know how human nature is. I didn't get all the grass out. You know, there's a little piece. I'm tired of pulling that out. And that stuff was kind of laying dormant underneath. You plant the ice plant, that starts growing. But what grows along with the ice plant? The grass. I mean, you don't have to water that stuff. It'll grow. I mean, you water to death the ice plant. It grows about that much a year. The grass springs up. And so I had to pull all that stuff out. What I should have done, is at the beginning, rip everything out, put the poison on there or whatever it is, a crabgrass killer, rototiller it, prepare the soil so it's fresh, brand new start. None of this other influence of the crabgrass. And that's what I hope that we're able to do as we study Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Because we all have these pressures and misunderstandings of what Jesus Christ is really ultimately all about, what His kingdom is about. And basically we start growing, but then these other things start growing up as well in our walks with the Lord. Things that are misunderstandings of Christ's purposes and plans. Of seeing how Jesus could fit into my life and to make me happy and to make me successful. It has nothing to do with what the Lord's ultimate purposes are. And so we need a fresh start so that we're not using Jesus for our means, what we want to accomplish in life. And putting an amen on it or in the name of Jesus. But what is it that He wants to accomplish? How does my life fit with that? Let's go back to Matthew 5. I think it's important for you to understand these political religious influences on society in order to understand how foreign this would sound in the minds of these people that heard about Jesus' kingdom. Remember, they want to make Him king, because He does miracles, because He's making people healthy and feeding people. And He says, my kingdom is completely opposite of that. I want to bring God's blessing upon your life, but it doesn't come in those forms. It's not outward. It's not external. Verse 1 says, in seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain, and when He saw His disciples came to Him. So this message was for His disciples. There were a lot of people that came around, according to the Gospel of Luke. But when He saw the multitudes, again, He looked at them, and they were following Him for the wrong reasons. So now He wants to gather His disciples and say, people have a misunderstanding about who I am. Remember He asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Some say, well, John the Baptist, others the prophet. He says, well, who do you say that I am? And then Peter nailed it, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is one of those situations where Jesus is moving away from the multitudes because He's going to teach His disciples what His kingdom is all about. It says, and He sits down. I like that. That's the way they taught in that day. The teacher sat down. He didn't stand up. The other people stood up and listened. I don't think that'll go over too well here, so we'll keep with our tradition here. But when you sat as a rabbi, that means my class is in session, I'm ready to speak, I have something to say to you. When you're walking around, you know, they'd give their opinions and ideas and talk back, but when you sat down, And we do have this idea in our culture today. We say that person's the chair of that department. This is that whole idea that where it comes from. And when a rabbi sat down to teach, he's going to give something important. Disciples come to him, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I want to spend some time on that term, blessed, what it means. There's a lot of translations that will translate this term, blessed, as happy. And I think that's extremely misleading. I do not consider myself happy all the time. Happy is an emotion that comes and goes. And Jesus does not say, "I've come to make you happy." You know, even the term happy in the English is related to the term happenings. You have good happenings, you're happy. You have bad happenings, you're sad. So it's based on circumstances, happenstance, issues that would rise up. Ed McMahon shows up at your doorstep with a big check, you're happy. Uncle Sam comes, wants his part, and you're sad. You know, it's all based on outward. Jesus has not come to make you happy. He's come to bless your life, to make you a blessed person. And that's the Greek term makarios, which I think may be a better or closest translation we could get in English is the word to be blissful. Because that communicates something outside of me, maybe something of God's touch upon my life. Let me give you a little background on this word, and I believe it'll be helpful for you to understand it. The Greek philosophers before Christ used this term blessed. And they used it to describe the state that the gods were in. They said that the gods were blessed or blessed because they're not touched by all these human circumstances of poverty, sickness, disease, corruption, death. So they are in a blessed state because they're separate from bad circumstances. And so they said their state was not based on, basically because they were separate from all the things that were harsh or difficult in life. Jesus comes along and uses the same term, and he says, you really want to have a blessed life, it's not based on the circumstances or being separated from all the injustices and difficulties that life may bring. I'm not coming to bring a kingdom that's going to spare you of difficulties and trials and struggles. I've come to bless you even in the midst of all those things that'll come about. They will happen, but yet you could still be blessed or in that state of bliss or a state of joy, a state of contentment, because it's not based on the outward circumstances. I like that. That means I could be blessed in whatever place I'm at. Paul says I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, whether that's California or any other place. Paul found the joy of contentment. And it's not based on your health. It's not based on the political environment. It's not based on the religious environments. It's based on your relationship with God. You can find that deep sense of satisfaction, that deep sense of contentment. You probably have heard the term shalom that's found in the Old Testament, a Jewish phrase. And when someone said shalom, they weren't just saying hello. What they're doing is invoking God's peace upon your life. It's similar to our God bless you. And so it meant well-being or a sense of wholeness. That's what this term blessed means in the New Testament. They want God's shalom or God's blessing, his presence, to be upon you. But it also communicated this idea, and I want you to grab this. It also communicated God's favor upon your life, God's acceptance, that God accepts you. And when you understand that, when you understand that you have God's acceptance, you will find that internal peace, that contentment, that satisfaction in life. So they're saying God's favor is upon your life. And so Jesus is saying, if you want God's blessing, God's favor upon your life, it's not like the Pharisees, where it's all the outward religious, external things. It's not like the zealots getting the political environment right. It's not like the Sadducees getting financially wealthy and healthy and powerful. It's an internal thing, because now you're in a right relationship with God. That's when you'll experience God's blessedness, God's favor, God's acceptance. And that's why he starts, you have to be poor in spirit. That's humility, coming to God empty and receiving his gracious gift of salvation.